Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and the identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material covering of the spirit soul. Person absorbed in the material bodily concept conception is affected by these things, but I am free from all bodily conceptions. Consequently, I'm neither fat nor skinny nor anything else you've mentioned. Jet Bart. Purport, Srinartham Das Thakur has sung. One who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body or with the bodily actions and reactions. When one comes to understand that he's not the body and therefore is neither fat nor skinny, oh my God, can you imagine? The whole society would be different. One attains the topmost form of spiritual realization. When one is not spiritually realized, the bodily conception entangles one in the material world. At the present moment, all human society is laboring under the bodily conception. Therefore, in the Shastras, people in this age are referred to as Dipada Pashu, two-legged animals. No one can be happy in a civilization conducted by such animals. No one can be happy in a civilization conducted by such animals. Okay. Our Krishna consciousness movement is trying to raise fallen human society to the status of spiritual understanding. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jet Bart. Read that again too. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jet Bart. However, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by spreading the Bhagavad principles, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. When one is not affected by the bodily conceptions, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. The more we advance our freedom from the bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, and the more we are happy and peaceful. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says that those who are too materially affected continue the bodily conception. Such persons are concerned with different bodily symptoms. Whereas one freed from bodily conceptions lives without the body, even in the material condition. Om Gamnati Mirandasya Gananjanam Sadakaya Chakshun Meritamena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya No Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam. You guys want to chant with me? Deham Shiro Shila Parakamalam Shri Guru Maishavam Cha Shri Rupam Sarjatam Sanatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadhutam Vajanasahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahana Shri Vishakha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Mostite Tata Kanchana Gauranaki Radhe Vrindavane Shri Krishna Vanu Sute Devi Pananami Hari Priye Vachakalpataru Vishya Vipa Sindhu Vivacha Padinanam Pavyebhyo Vaishyavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mostly your hands are only halfway up, it means you're only half spread. When I was in Vrindavan one time with Rabu, we were at this sadhu's house. And we brought the whole yoga group there. And they were worshipping Radha Damodar in this little temple on the Parikram. And then we did kirtan for like 30 minutes, and then all of a sudden, you know, he puts their hands up, and there's one guy, he's in the kirtan. And the sadhu was really, he said, you only have surrendered. And I was like, ah! So this is the, whoa. This verse we want to give to every person on the planet. We want to bring this verse to the every section of human society because it's so applicable. I want to take this one and give it to the cosmetic industry. Right? We want to bring it to the health industry. We want to bring this one to the psychology section. I mean, we want to bring this everywhere. And as I was reading this, I was thinking of, you know, Prabhupada quotes this verse twice. Nasta, and the translation is by?
By regularly attending, that's it, regularly attending classes, Bhagavatam, all the struggles under the heart is destroyed.
All of the, anarthas, all of the things in the heart, just by what we're doing right now, it's so boring coming to Bhagavatam class in the morning. But literally, the prescription, we have a little illness here, it's called material body and affection. The prescription is by regularly hearing and chanting, and hearing this Bhagavatam, hearing about from the Bhagavatam, or from somebody who's living the Bhagavatam, then all of the unwanted things in the heart gets cleansed. So we're doing the prescription, we're taking the medicine.
And devotional service to the Supreme Lord is established as an irrevocable fact.
And it's established, and that's the problem. That's why they say Prabhupada ruined you. He ruined the material life, because once that gets established, then all of a sudden, you can't go back. You see that all the time, even in devotees who quote-unquote have fallen and all of that kind of stuff. Forget about it. They're still ruined because they can't enjoy it. And that's the idea. And if you, why does Prabhupada quote this twice? Because he doesn't have to. He could have just put it right in that second part. He quotes it twice because you can feel this is his mission. That's why he came, was to say, and because there's so much compassion in his writing here, because he's just saying, listen, this is what Jet Bart said, and look, this is my solution. Don't you get it, guys? Right? I don't know. Where was he when he was translating Fifth Canto?
No, I
didn't. You know? Yeah. You know where he was?
Probably many places.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just wondering the years. But he's at this point it's a few years into his movement, and he's translating, he's saying, okay, he's seen, yeah?
It was during the moon landing, because that's when the Srimad Bhagavatam came out. You know, and he said at that time, because of the moon landing and the Bhagavatam, many of his disciples were needed.
Oh yeah, because of the fifth canto, we start talking about this. He's translating this and he's saying, oh yeah, guys, guess what? This was the prescription I was given, and I really want you to take this. And so, of course, preaching to the choir right now, it's very easy to talk to all of us sitting here, because we can actually relish a little bit being in Bhagavatam class, hearing, and that kind of thing. But it's not so easy to realize these. It takes some immense amounts of compassion and surrender to realize this, but it's good. It starts here. So, when I was reading this and I was looking back and just checking out the different texts and seeing what was happening, you know, it's just this common theme that keeps happening. Is kind of catchy. Wherever there's a breakdown, there's a breakthrough. Wherever there's going to be a breakdown, there's going to be a breakthrough if we're attentive. That's what's going to happen. So each one of us is going to experience many, many different breakdowns. And we can choose to see it as, and with the right light, we'll see a breakthrough. So here's what's happening. He's getting pulled, right, on the palanquin. What a different age, right? Can you imagine if we see somebody getting on a palanquin, just walking through, and he's on the palanquin, and then basically, practically speaking, he gets a flat tire. Right?
Yeah.
Jet Bart's a flat tire. Does anybody ever have a flat tire?
Yeah, I think I have.
It's like the most inconvenient thing on the planet. Because you're driving a car to get somewhere. Right? You have a destiny. You're not driving the car to just like go on a Sunday drive. You're driving a car to get somewhere. And there's time involved. And it's pressing on you, you know? Time. People say, I have time. Is anybody in here have time?
Krishna is time.
Krishna, yeah. Yeah. Do we have Krishna yet? Probably. So, we say we have time, but we really don't have time. We can feel the presence of time. Time is pushing on us, for sure. We're getting older, and we're wondering where it's all going. I recently had a birthday, and I'm not that old, but even my age, you start feeling like, are you kidding me?
35.
Yeah, how did I get to 35? What does that even,
oh my God.
What does that even mean? How does that even happen? I feel like I'm 12. But when you get that age, you feel like, God, it's pushing on me. I'm almost 50, 60. It's happening. It's just happening. It's happening. You know, it's just, it's much, I'm closer to 50 than I am to 18 now. It's crazy. So it's pushing on us, pushing on us, pushing on us. So we don't have time. We're getting pressed on by time right now. And to realize these things is really tricky. So what happens is there's a breakdown. And so he's walking and all of a sudden there's a breakdown. And we can learn so much from him, King Raghunath, because instead of, you know, I mean, he smashes Judd Barb with his words, and you're like this, and you're like this. But he listens, and he just hears. And we can hear, no matter who it is, I don't care who it is that we have a breakdown with, if we really try to hear Krishna, he can speak to that person. What's going on here? Why is this situation happening for me? I don't understand, right? And we can get some clues, actually. Because Krishna works in mysterious ways. It's not that all of a sudden you see, you know, I mean, can you imagine the externals of this situation? Who would have thought that this deaf, dumb, whatever person, you know, has some deep realization of Krishna? You know, Super Soul is in the heart of everybody, so he can speak to everybody. So, but then this special realized soul is there with him. And a lot of times you see this happen. When we did this spiritual recharge thing last week, and the thing was, once you submit, everything becomes legit.
Wow.
Right? Once you submit, everything's going to become legit. Because when you submit, it's an invitation for somebody else to lead. And I've been reading a lot of, you know, the time when, this, you know, it's back in the day, 66, when, you know, they're with all these, you know, Wally and Carl and Keith and Howard, and they're all just there. You know, these amazingly advanced devotees are all just sitting there without knowing who they are. And at some point, it just sparked in them that there's somebody really special around us. Somebody very special that's here. And we're in his presence, and then all of a sudden, once the devotional service started to just flow from their heart, and they just got an inspiration, and they went back, and they said, we're going to surprise, and the love started to flow. We're going to surprise this Swami, we're going to decorate this second avenue. And I love this pastime, because it's so sweet.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there, and there's, you know, and they decide, okay, I got it, let's do it, let's do it nice, right? Let's take off they take the curtains off their Mott Street apartment. And they dip the curtains in water, and the water turns like this, I mean, strange color because of all the activities they've been doing prior. So they're dipping this in there, and they pull the curtains out, and they dye them purple. I mean, it's so cute. They're thinking, let's make this like an Indian kind of place. Let's do a little service. And they bring their pictures that they got from India. One is of Lord Chaitanya, one's of Hanuman, one is of some kind of mundane lady dancing. But they, you know, they put these things up, and they're waiting, right? And it's such an exciting pastime because they're waiting. Now they're waiting because their love has been shown. Right? What's he gonna say? What's his wife gonna say? Oh my God! What's he gonna say? And they're waiting, and he comes in, and of course, Prabhupada's not pressing on anybody at this point. He's not pushing them to do it. You know, he's just him. And there hasn't been. Can you imagine? There hasn't been a display of love yet. Mm-hmm. A few months into this process, there's never been any reciprocation. I'm just giving, giving, giving. Prabhupada's just giving, 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 and there's no reciprocation. You think, okay? And then all of a sudden there's a display of this love, right? Because as, you know, practitioners of bhakti, our job is to start to see through the eyes of love, actually. And you see, that's actually what starts to happen to the vision. I was talking to Mukunda Prashtha yesterday, and his great-grandmother, or his grandmother's sister, left her body. And she was, for all practical purposes, literally off her rocker. She had like a mental thing, and she just like, but she lived in an amazingly intense, difficult life. like super difficult. The husband left early, like when there was no such thing as divorce, and like she got an alcoholic. There's so many amazing difficulties she was going through. And at one point in her life, she sat down with Mukunda Brush and had a conversation. And she said, and she just spoke for like an hour to him about somebody that, you know, took the time to have like a bacon sandwich with her or something like that. And he was thinking, what? That's such a stupid story. Why is she talking to me for an hour about this bacon sandwich or something, you know? And he said he started to meditate on her life, and he was thinking about her, and he said, all I could think about was this story, this bacon sandwich story. Like, why was she so adamant about that story? Because it was like, you imagine sitting, you know how it is, so you gotta tolerate for an hour, and it's, you know, it's your grandmother's sister, so you just have to tolerate, and you have to be there. Yes. And he said, I just started to see it. My God, she was just so grateful. She was so grateful that somebody took that little bit of time to go and have a bacon sandwich with her. So she just had to get it out. She had to tell this story. And he said she told this story to so many people. And I said, Mukunda Prasad, you're seeing through the eyes of love, man. Instead of seeing all the faults of even that story, the bacon and all this kind of stuff, he's seeing the appreciation, right? Somebody's heart. So as practitioners of bhakti, we start to see through the eyes of love. And another story in that regard was when I was upstate or in Connecticut. So there's Radha Swami. We were there and we saw Molly and the Chipmunk. You guys heard the Molly and the Chipmunk story? No, Molly and the Chipmunk? Molly, you heard the Molly and the Chipmunk story? Oh good, so this is a good story. So Molly and the Chipmunk, you know what a chipmunk is?
He's a little rat, man.
Kind of like a little rat, but really. A little cuter somehow, some way. They got a little more fur or something. So we were up there and I was bringing Marge breakfast and he was looking, there was this little balcony, he was overlooking it, and there was a pool. And there was a big tree, and he said, come. And I said, look, went over by him, and he said, look. And there was a dog, the dog's name was Molly. Molly was kind of like there was four dogs in this house. Molly, a devotee, says, oh my God, there's four dogs in the house. There's four dogs in the house. And so, this dog was playing out in the backyard, it was doing all this kind of stuff. And he said, I just need you to go check on that dog. And I said, okay. And he ran downstairs and I went to check on the dog. And it was badness, like this. And I was like, oh my God, that's a chipmunk. And so I ran up and, get out of here, Molly. Molly ran away. And this chipmunk was like totally wet. So then it did actually look like a rat. When they're wet, they just look like a little rat. I was like, oh my God. What happened to this chipmunk? And so then I grabbed a little towel and wrapped the chipmunk, and then it wasn't doing so well, so I put some hot water on it and finally kind of sprang a little bit to life, and I was like, okay, good. And I didn't see any cuts or anything on the chipmunk because Molly was playing, so I didn't know what was happening. So I took this chipmunk and tried to get it to move, but it wasn't moving, and then the host came out, and then the chipmunk jumped up and went wild, and then it ran up the tree and got out of there, right? And I said, no, what happened? He goes, I'll tell you the story tomorrow. He goes, okay. So the next day comes, and he goes, come here. And he points down, and I was looking, and I see, and there's a hot tub, and there's a pool. And I see this chipmunk doing, has anybody ever been to Haridwar? In Haridwar, they float down the Ganges, like everybody in the town, it's like their water park. You know, like the locals, the boys, they run up and then they jump into the Ganga and then they like float down and then they like swim towards the thing and they'll grab on and then they'll keep floating down and then they just run back up the bank and then they
That sounds like fun.
That's what they do. So this chipmunk was doing the same thing. This chipmunk was jumping into the water and then the jets were on. So it would float down to, because there was a little ledge in between the hot tub in the pool, and then we get on the ledge, and then we jump up, and we go, and we float down, and it was doing this again and again and again. And then at one point, it just stopped in the ledge, and this was a few minutes we're sitting there, and it just kind of looked out. I said, "What's going on, Raj?" "He's looking for his friend." I said, "Who's his friend?" He said, "Yesterday, he was doing the exact same thing." His chipmunk was doing the exact same thing. And it started to drown. It couldn't make it on the ledge. Something happened and wasn't able to. And so it was just swimming. It wasn't doing so well. And Molly dove in. Yeah, Molly jumped into the hot tub, picked up the chipmunk, and walked out with the chipmunk. And then what happened was somehow, because Molly saved the life, there was a little affection, there was a little exchange there, something happened. And then Molly spit out the chipmunk, and then they started to play. Like it was good, but I was thinking, well, they didn't really play, because Molly kind of smashed that. And so then what happened was, he said, then the chipmunk started to play with Molly. It started to run around the tree, and it would go up. And then as soon as it got to the point where it was too high for Molly, like Molly was going to be able to play, Molly would take the chipmunk in the mouth and then throw it down to the ground and then spit it out, and then they would do this. And he said, I watched this 7 times. Molly would go up, or the chipmunk would go up, and then Molly would grab it in the mouth and throw it down. And after about the 6th one, the chipmunk didn't look so good.
Oh my God.
It was too rough. Threw it down. So then, and then he told me to go get it. And I said, wow, that's amazing. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, this affection. Look at this chipmunk saved the life of this, or this dog saved the life of the chipmunk. And all of a sudden there was affection. And now look, it's longing for the dog to come. Actually, it wants its friend back. I said, that's incredible. So later on that day, I talked to the host, right? And I said, what do you think happened there? Because the host was horrified about the whole situation. He had a Swami in the house, and then the Swami seeing this dog, their dog eating a chipmunk or something, just terrified. She said, well, I called the vet, and she gave me this long scientific explanation why what happened. And honestly, I almost glazed over when she did. It was just so, to me, it was just so not touching to the heart. Well, because chipmunks act like this, and then because dogs act like this, and then because like this, then the reason was, this is how they
have fun.
And I was thinking, my God, it's so dry compared to, well, they're buddies, and they got together. And look, they're seeing, you see, the different ways that our vision gets, that we can choose to see things. Well, scientifically, the chipmunk has molecules in its cellular structure that, and this is kind of the explanation that was coming. And because of that, the dog decided that this, and I was just like, ugh.
Oh my God.
Or, look, they're loving friends, and look, the heart. And I was thinking, this is how a sadhu sees. Doesn't see these external things. I mean, we're talking about chipmunks and dogs right now, right? Sometimes for devotees, oh, that's useless. What are you talking about, chipmunks and dogs? But you're not your body. So a sadhu seeing through affections, actually. It's such a beautiful story, seeing through affections. What is going on here? And imagine, this is Raj's vision, he said, but what's the lesson? What's the lesson to learn here? And he said, this is how you have to bring it always back. He said, well, the real thing is, Molly didn't know how to love the chipmunk. Molly was loving according to how she wanted. Right? Pull it down. He said, in the same way, we have to learn what Krishna likes. That beautiful. And we love according to that. I said, Raji, thank you very much for the teaching. Because that's our conditioning, that's our problem. We're all little Mollies running around, loving the way that we want. Because Molly really just wanted to play. And we all want to play, we all want to enjoy, we all want to have fun. But we have to do it in the way that our beloved actually likes. I mean, if anybody ever gets married, you know, it's a chore you have to work on day in, day out. Hey, Sham. Sham comes down to this class because she knows I like it when she's at the class. She doesn't necessarily even want to be here, but she's coming out of affection. So seeing through the eyes of love, so he's on the palanquin and he's seeing this person, and Judd Barth, he's not seeing the difference between an ant. Because really, what is there? According to philosophy, there's no difference. We have the highest, amazing philosophy. Try to deal with that philosophy, right? In reality, what do you mean that ant is the same as Ananda Sankirtan? Yes, same relevance. Come on. Can't be true. It's true. Oh. What vision we'll have to develop to actually see that, right? I mean, it's amazing. So some moment in your life, in your lifespan, you were actually just like that ant. Ugh. And now you got this amazing human body. So we're doing the thing at this moment that Prabhupada's prescribing to fully understand that. We're cleansing the heart. We're taking the unwanted things out of the heart by hearing this Bhagavatam. Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, and identification of the body with the self. That's when we're covered. If we have this, we're covered. So we got to about 10 minutes. Anybody have any thoughts, questions, comments, concerns of this sweet verse? Adi?
It's wonderful that he's able to share a different way of looking at thinking the king. And that the king, when it says you can tell a fool only after he opens his mouth. And the same thing with the sadhu, you can tell by what they speak about, what they have to say. After he hears from Judd Barth, then he jumps off the palanquin and he offers a respectful gestures and inquires submissively and says, please enlighten me. And then there's this whole passage you were about to read about the parts of material enjoyment, how the entities become bewildered and tangled. But it's a real epiphany, you know. One moment he's thinking this is some Prabhupada, and the next moment he's realizing that this is a person who has some wisdom, and he's so happy to meet somebody like that. So we could be in either one of those positions where somebody starts to speak to us and we realize, you know, that this person see something I can't see. Or we might be in a position like Judd Barth, somebody inquires from us, and we have such a treasure that Jewel Prabhupada's given us that we can download it, you know, and help somebody. And it's amazing to me that Judd Barth, through all the passages, he doesn't speak to his family, even his father and mom, he doesn't preach to them, he doesn't reveal his, you know, higher consciousness to them. But then all of a sudden to this person, this won't be wasted.
This is the side, this has been, thank you for always bringing this up in the classes, because it's a great realization of who to speak to, of how to speak, and then also when the hearts are ready. And sadhus see that. Sadhus can see who can receive according to the quality of the heart, and it's not an external thing, you know, it's and when somebody's heart's really desiring, so at some point we have to understand King Raghunath was really desiring to have this deep wisdom, deep knowledge, and it's covered in so many different ways, and then they were actually able to give. And the thing that's so beautiful is that we can give them, how wonderful is Krishna, is that what happens is he, just like Keith and Wally and Carl and all the boys, they, you know, they finally gave the offering of this place, or this you know, they redid the temple. And then they go back and then they see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada smiles. And, I mean, their whole life at that moment is complete. And then it's described that he gets incredibly grave. And I was just meditating on how sweet of a situation that is, because how wonderful is Krishna that he's going to take us right where we're at, right? But he loves us so much he's not going to leave us there. Does that make sense? So that gravity represents that. When a sadhu sees it, he appreciates. And you know what that feels like when you feel recognized. Whoa! Oh my God, yes! Perfection of my life. But you're not there yet. So the gravity comes. Boom! And then all of a sudden that gravity comes and Prabhupada got so grave. And they're thinking, what is going on? You know, like, wait, does he not like it? What's going on? You know, because it's so abrasive to the heart. It's like, wait a minute, was he happy? Is he definitely not happy now? And then Prabhupada smiled one more time and said, okay, good, yeah, he's definitely happy. And then he got super grave. And he did the kirtan. And that's spiritual life, you know? We do some devotional service, we may please the spiritual master, we may please the acharyas, we may please like that. But Krishna says, I ain't done with you yet. Right? Gravity of the situation. Hello, you're not this body, you're not this, you're not this. And so this is the same thing that's happening with the king. He kind of got lucky, you know? He got lucky out of nowhere, he chastised this great soul. And then all of a sudden, somehow he got the message, right? That's very sobering, but then he took it. He took the message and then he dropped. And he said, okay, I'll drop down. So he had a breakdown, and then he got so humble in that breakdown that the breakthrough could actually happen. And then all of a sudden, not only did he enlighten this king, he's enlightening all of us. And this king, what an instrument for our grace, for our growth. The forest of material enjoyment? Are you kidding me? This is like the, my God, for anybody that wants to finish their material life, if anybody's feeling the burn.
Feel the burn.
Everybody's truly feeling the burn of material life. Read the force of material enjoyment. It's almost like until you read that, it's like,
yeah,
there's still some good stuff left here. Then after you read that, you feel like, okay, I'm finished. Like, where am I going to find this happiness? And this is Judge Bart's compassion upon all of us, because he knows that at some point, if it's this life, it's next life, it's the next 10 life, something like that, we will come to that point where we will seek that knowledge. And we will just say, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for sending these teachings, because I had no clue, and thank you, King Rupanath, for just dropping down, because he could have not dropped down. Judd Bar could have went back home to Godhead without having this explanation and sharing this message. Because this type of knowledge, this is the other thing too, that is this type of knowledge is meant to be shared. Sometimes we want to have a personal one-on-one with the spiritual.